And here we go. Snakes, Rats, and Goats, welcome back. Talking about Survivor, Game Changers, Season 34, Episode 2/3. I'm going to stick with 2 because that's what's on the CBS website.
Okay.
I'm your co-host, Ryan Elder, and with me, as always, is...
Ryan's other co-host. Wait, what? I screwed it up. Scott Chernoff.
That was, I don't know, Scott.
Well, you know, I usually am at home and it's the middle of the night. Right now it's the middle of the day on the weekend. I'm here at the home of our guest, TV and movie star Steve Agee.
Yes.
And he was distracting me because when you said season 34, his face nearly exploded.
34.
But because there's 2 a year.
I know. That's
And we started because Steve and I watched the first several seasons together.
Yeah.
And we started in 2000. Can you believe that? It's been 17 years.
It's amazing.
Even 17 would seem like a lot of seasons.
Yeah, it did at the time. Yeah.
I mean, we grew up in a time when television shows were just one season a year. Summer's off. It was just like school. Summer's off.
Yep.
And then fall to spring, and that's it.
22 episodes.
And maybe like if a show went like eight seasons, that was like insane.
It's part of the reason why you don't make money as an actor anymore is there's shows don't rerun either because networks, when they have a show ends, they just put a different show on in its place instead of repeating it.
The lack of reruns and also some very inside Hollywood. Also, as a writer and an actor, it's the lack of reruns and shorter seasons.
Yeah. 10 episodes, 8 episodes.
Yeah. Instead of 22.
Or if you're in the UK, 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, UK's had
very common,
very short seasons for a long time. Yeah. That's true. But, you know, that's England.
But, you know, why don't I introduce our guest, Scott?
Yeah. Why don't you introduce our guest, Ryan?
To the listener, you may know him from New Girl, and you may not know him yet from the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's Steve Agee. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having
me. Guardians of the Galaxy is Volume 2.
Volume 2.
That's exciting.
Little independent film.
This is huge.
Yeah, I still can't. It was shot it a year ago, and I'm still in disbelief.
And around the time you were shooting that a year ago, these Game Changers were frolicking around Fiji.
Capturing goats and debating.
Were these all the same cast on a different episode or different season?
This was shot last...
Oh, this is all last
this
year.
This was shot in, what, May of last year?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. May, June.
Something like
that.
It's
weird that they take so long
to edit them. Well, they shoot them now the fall and winter seasons back to back. Like, with just a couple weeks apart in the same location.
So whoever won this last year is just sitting around waiting for their money?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they can't get their money until the final episode airs. And
theoretically, they don't know for sure that they won.
Oh, that's right, because it's announced.
But they might kind of
I mean, guys, think about all the antiques that Brad has on layaway. Just waiting for that $1 million check to roll in.
Does love to antique.
I love antiquing. I like to decorate.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you were also... So, just... Let's jump into it. But to continue that, Baron, Steve... And, Steve, you've been on our podcast.
Yeah.
You were on our first podcast.
Very first guest.
No. That was
this
the
is
only
your
time.
Second
this is my
time.
Second time, yeah.
Okay, so... Just to remind our listeners, because I'm sure they all did their homework, went back and listened to that podcast. But
please.
But in case they didn't. So you were a regular viewer of Survivor. You know, most of our guests since you have never seen Survivor. I don't think I even told you that. We kind of went in the direction of our guests are people who have like never seen
Survivor. Oh, that's amazing.
The show.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
That's
you haven't been listening? You're supposed to say, Scott, I'm your friend. Of course I knew that.
Well, it would be weird. I feel like it would be weird for me to listen to a podcast about something I'm not watching.
Yeah, that's what's so great about having guests who've never seen the show and they sit down and watch like episode 8 of season 32 and they're like, what am I seeing? So, but you watched till about when? Like, do you know when you stopped watching Survivor?
I think the last season I watched was what was the guy with the big beard and the tie-dye shirt?
Rupert.
That was the last season I watched.
His first season. Also on All Stars. You probably watched All Stars.
I may have seen a little bit of the All Stars, but really that
was
Rupert's first season was my last season.
Okay.
So
Rupert has been on four times now.
Well, so you're familiar with at least one of the castaways on this season, the Queen herself.
Oh yeah,
Sandra won that season.
Yeah, that's right. And she's the worst. I don't like her.
It's funny because I walked in. And as Steve was finishing the episode, and I heard you say, I hate her.
Yeah.
Ryan and I love her.
You do?
Yeah.
She was going to kill a baby goat.
Well, okay. So you had an interesting introduction to
her. Sandra doesn't give a damn.
Oh, my God. She's
she's ruthless.
She came off real bad in this episode.
Well, I did wonder, like, that does not bode well for her chances of winning.
She wanted that baby goat killed, but she also says, I don't know how to kill. Like, she wanted someone else to kill it for her. She wanted one of those people to kill a baby goat for her to eat.
Yeah.
What a twat.
But, you know, they were hungry.
I get it too, but all those other guys in their interviews were just like, I ain't going to kill no baby goat. I ain't going to orphan no baby goat.
I agree. I couldn't do it either. But in her defense, in terms of her social game, like, she seemed to, I think that the editing might have made more of a thing of it than there was.
Because
to the people, she was mostly saying, like, you know, you don't want to do it. Okay, that's fine, whatever.
I do like that someone was like, they're living in this camp with like four chickens. And someone was like, why don't we eat one of these chickens?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, let's eat one of the chickens. What?
But when it comes down to it, like, what is the difference? A vegetarian might say to you.
Well, the baby was the difference.
Scott, really the difference is one has small, beady eyes, and the other has large, soulful eyes, right? I mean, that's it, right?
That is the difference.
You have to look into those eyes when you kill them.
Well, it's also that, I mean, their four legs are as close to a pet as you would normally have, like a dog or
something.
That's
true. Unless you're Thai, and then, you know.
Right, Ty loves the chickens.
He loves all living creatures.
Oh, you got
Ty, I think, was on the episode that I watched when I did your first podcast.
But he wasn't, that's what I'm confused about. You said that you recognized him. Did Steve never come back?
I have some friends. My friend Dave and George watch the show, and sometimes I must have seen it at their house.
Because, his first season, he kind of kept one of the chickens as a pet. What were you going to say, Ryan?
I was going to say, it's good that you're sort of familiar with Ty, because we didn't get a lot of him this episode, but if you know sort of the essence of Ty, it's great. Like, he's so awesome.
He's awesome.
He's an amazing character. So let's stick on Sandra for a minute here, because obviously she is so far the star of the season. And this edit of her with the goat, I found to be the most interesting for a long-term perspective of the season.
Can we, before you get into that, Scott, can we just refresh? I believe Sandra is your preseason winner pick. Is that correct?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
She is. But, you know, it was also made, A, on track record, but B, more in a sort of hopeful way.
Yeah.
I didn't have a solid pick. I think your pick of Malcolm is looking really good.
Maybe a little
too
good.
And my heart wants Ceri. But... you know, I also want Sandra, and I love Sandra, but it could very well be that she's getting the Jeff Varner Cambodia edit of, like, huge character early on, and she'll get chopped soon. I don't know, but this edit with the goat is clearly significant, because there was an effort made to make her into a villain over this. And is that because she has no chance of winning, or... Is it because she is so ruthless? I mean, what do you think, Ryan?
Well, I think it's because she has no chance of winning. I mean, how many seasons have they shown the winner of the season doing something so heinous, like
and
antisocial? Like, it doesn't happen, right? So,
it'd be very shocking.
Almost sociopathic.
Shots.
Like the way they.
Yeah, well, the way they cut it, for sure.
The way
sure.
they cut it. I don't think it was that. What's interesting about Sandra is, like, you know, the way she apparently comes off in person is, like, so non-threatening. And people love her. And I was reading one of Caleb's post show interviews.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had done some pre-show interviews where he was trashing her and said, you know, apparently you had said, Ryan, that Russell got to him or something.
That's
but
all
he,
signs point to that.
Right. And he said that in his interview, that he was, there was somebody he was talking to who kept trashing her to him, but that he was like, oh, she's, what has she done? She can't win a challenge, blah, blah, blah. So after coming back, he's like, oh, no. I see. She's a great, not only is she a great player, but she's a great person and she's so fun to be around. That's what Caleb was saying. He's like, she's so fun. And he told a story that he caught her coming out of the jungle with Jeff Varner, that she had been trying to make a fake idol.
Whoa.
Like she, yeah. Which is a thing that happens sometimes.
I didn't read this.
She had been collecting apparently little beads or whatever she could find. And she was going to make a fake. And he caught her. But her response was, she just goes, he goes, like, what's going on, Sandra? And she just goes, okay, Caleb, you caught me. I was going to make a fake idol and hide it and hope somebody found it and tried to use it. You got me. Okay.
I mean, that's how you handle that, right?
It's like, very disarming. It's very like, all right.
Fuck, yeah, that's
a great way to handle it.
It's sort of like when Ty said, I'm looking for the idol. Give me 5 more minutes. I need to find it.
Except Ty did it not as a strategy. Ty, yeah. like, has no gameplay, no strategy.
Yeah.
On Ty's first episode, Steve, he was caught looking for the idol, and instead of hiding it, he...
In this season?
No, his first season.
Yeah, I remember that, and he was, like, climbing a tree or something.
Yeah, and then they're like, what are you doing? You're looking for the idol? And he's like, yeah, can I have a few more minutes? But he did
it
kind of...
So innocent.
Yeah, innocently.
Yeah, childlike.
Yeah, naively.
Okay, where do we start? Naively. This is... There's so much that goes on. I will just tell you this. I really enjoyed this episode, primarily because... Once it was clear which tribe was going to tribal council, I could relax.
Yeah,
because part of what happens to me these all-star seasons is I'm already invested in the characters that I want. Whether or not they win, I want them to go far and do well and stay on the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that tribe's gone?
Yeah.
Okay, any of them can go. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Let's just sit back and see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that tribe, I mean, why don't we talk about the swap right now, since it's kind of the first thing that happens. And that is a tribe,
Ryan, of 6 people with, like, the 6 people who least qualify as game changers.
It's pretty close, yeah.
The least amount of strategy was on that tribe, and as such, Brad Culpepper was able to rise to the top as the best strategist on the tribe.
I love antiquing, and I like to decorate.
He's a former football player, Steve.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're making us like
him.
He's
the guy that was
hanging
the glass balls all over the place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, like his first season, he was like, at least his edit, he was a big, in-your-face, alpha male asshole.
Yeah. The sort of memorable quote about him is literally, fuck you, Brad Culpepper.
That became his nickname, almost.
Fuck you, Brad Culpepper. That's great.
Because somebody yelled it at him. In a very memorable fashion.
That's awesome.
But this season, Brad's going to go far. I mean, he was already destined to go far because everybody had that impression of him from his first season.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody saw him as a strategic threat. Nobody saw him as a social threat. Everybody wanted to take him to the end as their goat.
Yeah, he seems beatable and just like someone you can work with, which is perfect, right?
Right, and he's at least being shown to us to be more than that. So.
He came into his new camp, and he's like starts decorating and building a bench, and everyone's like, "Oh,
we love you,
so
Brad!"
Great,
yeah. Yeah. So that tribe has. Let's just refresh for the listener. It has Ty. It has Brad. It has Sierra, Debbie, Ugh. And Caleb. Oh, and Haley. Haley. Almost forgot Haley. Yeah.
How can you forget Haley?
Yeah, we'll get to Haley because she's going to be a big topic of a subject of discussion towards the end. But this tribe, I mean, you know, like you said, was nice that they were the ones who were going to tribal, kind of, because there's a lot more people that I care less about. I obviously don't want to see Debbie go. And Ty is good TV, even though he's frustrating TV strategically.
Ty and Debbie are both great TV, but I wouldn't mind seeing Debbie go. I'm more like the people that I don't think deserve to be, and I'm very judgmental, and I've never played the game, and I would suck at it. The people who don't seem to fit the theme of amazing game players, I would rather see go early.
I think
I'd rather the good game players stay on.
Yeah,
I think you're in for a real disappointment this season, Scott. Based on that,
yeah.
I just don't see a lot of those like big players doing well.
Well, the first two vote off Steve were very big players. This guy, we have a cast picture open on the computer. This guy was one of the most.
I saw the previously
dude,
on. Yeah.
You would have loved his season. He's one of the greatest characters of all time. And he was an insane winner. We're talking about Tony.
Yes, thank
total
you.
Total insanity.
He won his season?
Yeah. Totally insane and amazing. And the other person, she's also very strategic.
Yeah.
Or at least has.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Rob C. when he says that Tony and Sierra are kind of like the poster children of the big moves era. And to see them go one and two is like a real symbol that maybe we're moving back. I mean, we already were moving back with Jeremy and with Michelle's win, but moving back to the more subtle, under the radar, like just like social winner instead of big moves winners, you know?
Interestingly, that's what Sandra was, but this season she's actually playing more aggressively.
Yeah, I like that Sandra's playing more aggressively. I don't think she had much of a choice, you know?
Well, I think she's got also a great, like, I don't know if it'll work, but the way what she's telling people, like, hey, I can't win. Nobody's going to vote for me for a third time, but I know how to get there. I'll get you there.
Yeah, I like that. Well, all right, let's move on to the Nuku tribe, the new Nuku, which I think may be one of the best tribes in Survivor history in terms of players that I like. And it's JT all by himself. Michaela, Malcolm, Sandra, Aubrey, and Varner. I mean, look at that lineup, right?
Quite a tribe. Do you remember Varner, Steve? He was on season 2.
No, I don't remember.
I'm
going to
look up a picture of him. He's changed
his look.
Looks
totally different. Yeah, he looks totally different.
It's just because it's been so many years. That was him in season 2.
Oh, my God.
You remember? No.
But that looks like a totally different guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this tribe could not be more exciting for me.
You would remember a little bit. I mean, it wasn't even a huge character, but it was 15 years ago. Yeah, but he's great.
If we swap out Michaela for Ceri, this is like the greatest tribe of all time, right? I mean,
yeah, it's a good one. Sandra and Ceri have never been on the same tribe.
Oh, that's interesting.
That would be the biggest clash of the Titans.
Yeah,
two people. Era on the show?
Not anymore, thank God.
Already gone. Yeah. The one's gone and the other is,
sucks.
I mean, not necessarily a game changer. Not a person that has been made clear yet to the audience why she is back.
Right.
Well, but is that a diplomatic way of saying it, Ryan?
Yeah, sure. I love it.
Was never made clear in her first season why she would come back for a second. Maybe there's a lot of footage we didn't see because it wasn't relevant to the story her season.
Yeah.
She was on the season you watched for our podcast.
Right.
And so was Haley, but you probably don't remember either of them.
Both of them are very under the radar players.
They were under the radar is another nice way of putting it. Now, speaking of under the radar, I know you want to go over these tribes, but just because you mentioned
radar
players, I just want to say that now that we've seen 3 episodes, basically, because the first week was 2 episodes combined together. I feel like just edit wise, without going into who's going to win, I think there's even more ammunition of who is not relevant this season.
Right. I agree with that.
And I'm looking at Andrea Belke.
Oof. Jeez. I mean,
if anything, she may be the next to go.
She got no confessionals. Her total confessionals all season so far are 2. She had 1 in the first half of the last episode and then 1 in this episode.
And her only scene this episode was to show why Troyzan, who later found an idol, doesn't like her.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
By the way, Steve Troyzan, his real name is Troy, was on a season where two of the players showed up with Tarzan-related nicknames.
No way.
Two players who thought that they were Tarzan.
Awkward.
Yeah, the other guy's nickname was Tarzan.
Greystoke.
That would be... Yeah. So, Andrea, like, I felt like that, if anything, that scene was just setting up her elimination.
Yeah, she has no chance, mostly because...
He's a little devil, that one.
Well, they all vote for him. He plays his idol, and he votes for Andrea. That's my prediction.
Oh, yeah, I could see that, because why would we get him saying that she's...
He's a little devil, that one.
You know, like, otherwise, a diddle devil. Why would we get that, you know?
A diddle devil.
Diddle devil.
I'm also looking at Sarah as being completely irrelevant.
I'm looking at confessional counts, by the way. Sarah also has two. They're both from that first two-parter. She had zero.
Wait, did you say Sierra or Sarah?
Sarah.
Sarah, yeah, that's
who
I'm
you
talking.
Said, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sierra doesn't seem much more relevant to me.
Well, yeah, Sierra... Thankfully. Yes. So we thought maybe after the first one she was, but it's just because she found that legacy.
Just because she found the legacy advantage, I think. I hope. I pray.
So
those are my two that I have categorically eliminated. Andrea and Sarah.
Yeah, I could go with that. Now, you want to hear the other people that only have two confessionals?
There's
only one, and it's Aubrey. Can you believe that?
Oh, yes, I do believe it, because I've noticed that she also has not been very...
The thing about Aubrey is she's hanging around all the time. Do you know what I mean? She's there around people. You see her a lot on screen, but you don't get her point of view ever.
I love Aubrey, but this just probably isn't her season. She was much more a part of the story her first time, and she's just not... She seemed to be slightly a part of Tony's story, and now Tony's gone.
Yeah. By the way, Tony still tied for the most confessionals, and he wasn't even in this episode.
You're really into confessionals.
It's really important.
We see it as like the amount of attention that certain characters are getting in the edit.
Yeah.
Is significant.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But like his first season, Tony was like, he's just such an amazing, everything he says is gold. So even if he ends up being the second person out in the season, it's not surprising that he's still been featured more than several other players.
Sure.
I bet there are players who will never exceed this season his confessional account.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, Sierra will never exceed it.
Yeah.
And now
well, I mean, the
Caleb
people who are
well.
Still.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. All right. So... briefly covered Nuku tribe. While we're talking about the Nuku tribe, why don't we talk about JT's plan to strand everyone at sea?
What'd you think of that, Steve?
Pretty awesome. Although you just put a huge mark on it because they figured it out. Oh, he just left us out here.
Yeah. I think they kind of like were amused by it.
Well, yeah, it makes their decision real easy.
Or does it? Because if they have any doubt that he may be found an idol, then what happens?
Yeah, now you show cracks in that five because they have to pick someone to split the votes on, and it has to be one of them.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. I kind of feel like this tribe isn't going to tribal for a while. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm thrilled because Sandra's on it and I want her on the show. She's got to at least be on into the jury phase.
Yeah, I hope so.
Great TV. That's my hope. I know now you've also told me you've heard some speculation that you deem to be most likely true. And you promised
not to
share with me.
I don't know about that anymore.
What?
About it being true or not anymore.
Okay, good.
And I will not let it color the way that I discuss the season.
Well, let me know when it starts coming true or not true.
You want me to tell you that?
If it starts not coming true, if somebody gets voted out and you're like, that was the person that the speculation.
All right, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Like in the season one, remember the whole Jervis thing when they put him on the website?
Yeah.
As like, oops, we accidentally revealed the winner.
Yeah.
And then when he finally got eliminated, we were all so relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we didn't, now it was back to being a mystery.
Yep.
Jervis. Yeah, that's funny. That's happened in other seasons too.
You know, Jervis
no
came back.
No swimming motherfucker.
Jervis came back.
I know.
He still couldn't swim, right?
I don't think so.
I don't recall. He made it far, though.
Yeah. Oh, very far. Okay.
All right. So this plan of stranding the tribe. I thought Varner had some great confessionals during that. And Varner seems to be playing so much better this season than he did.
Oh, my God. I'm getting a better vibe off of for his chances, by the way.
Way better vibe. Yeah. I feel like he makes the merge finally. Don't you?
He has.
He makes the jury.
He's got.
Yeah.
I think he does just by the edit this time. See, he's never made it very far, but they've brought him back.
Right.
Because he's always been good TV, and now this time he's good TV, just in a different way.
Like he was much more subtle this time.
Yeah.
Just stranding him out in the ocean.
We're talking about this guy. We're talking about this guy, Varner.
Okay.
So JT, the guy who stranded them, is a former winner.
Okay.
So he's played once before, and he won his season.
Scott, is JT like 10 times more of a hillbilly this season than he's ever been?
Yeah, what happened?
He was
to him?
Really hillbilly.
He's like
the tooth thing is bad enough, right? Like that already makes him like a hillbilly, but I feel like his accent is way thicker too.
It's like he like went deeper into the hill country and like this is the first time he's emerged since we last saw him.
Affected a hillbilly twang.
Oh, did I say he's played? No, he's played twice before. But he won once.
He was the first person to play, quote-unquote, a perfect game, meaning he received no votes during the season, and then he received all the votes to win.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, he's a good player, but the problem is he's very well known as a good player, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
And it's he's by himself on this tribe.
Yeah, he's in trouble on that tribe, but also that tribe might not go to tribal. Now, next week, both tribes are going to tribal.
Yeah, two out of the three. Tribe. So it's like who doesn't go, you know?
Right.
That's the question.
So do we want to talk about the other tribe?
Yeah, let's talk about
Tabua. Because
this
one is the most interesting. This other tribe has the most mystery to me. Like, I'm not really sure what's going on because these people never go to tribal.
And we don't get a lot from Andrea or Sarah. So we don't even know where they stand other than they will probably want to get rid of Troyzan first, right?
That's why they're so irrelevant. It's basically been about Suri and Ozzy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're totally right. Andrea's going to get idled out. That feels really right to me.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Steve. He is our guest. I was glad that Zeke and Suri were still together because I think they need each other.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I like them both. I like them both.
Oh, speaking of Zeke, I want to go back to one little bit at the beginning when Jeff said, all right, you guys are fans. What's happening right now? And everyone's looking at each other. And then finally Zeke is like, oh, we're swapping, right? Do you think that people just like didn't want to answer even though they knew? Because as soon as you answer, you seem like a super fan and then someone who's a target? Or do you think that they just literally didn't even think about a swap at 18, which they should have been?
They should have been thinking about it because it happened once before. But I don't know. I didn't think about it that way. That's a good point. I thought maybe the way he put it kind of was a little off-putting. Like, I didn't know what he was talking about at first. I was like, what are we doing here? I thought it was like, yeah. Surviving. Yeah, maybe, like, I was trying to come up with an answer. Like,
we're waiting for you to tell us,
Jeff. Yeah, you're the one who's gathered.
You're the guide for this.
He should have said this. He should have said, I got a surprise for you.
Want to know what it is?
Steve, did you know that Jeff Probst is now the showrunner?
No. That makes sense, though.
Yeah,
they need him. They need him.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we talking about? Yeah, that tribe is very hard to get a bead on, but the Ozzy and Suri situation seems to be improving.
Yeah, it does. Ozzy says he needs a Suri now, based on the numbers in that tribe. And yeah, I'm sure, right? I mean, they were setting us up for that. They were totally setting us up for that. And then, so Ozzy also said I literally think he says in every season, the same exact confessional word for word, but basically he's like, I think my experience and skill out here getting food and building the shelter will help me stay around, you know, like.
He plays the same game every, have you seen Ozzy before?
No.
He's like a Survivor legend, but he came in after your time. This is his fourth time playing. Hers too. There's only four.
He does always play the same game. Like always, he's the same guy who goes fishing, builds the shelter, knows how to do all the stuff, and like sometimes it gets him pretty far. Actually, a couple times it got him far, but you know, he can't close the deal.
Well,
right?
He's always made at least jury. Come in second place, fourth place, like seventh or eighth.
If you look at average placement, he's got to be one of the best of all time, right?
How much does second place win?
$100,000.
Jesus, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Too shabby.
Yeah, I mean,
with a month starving.
I always argued that if you think you're toast, you got to try to play for second place now. You know what I mean? Like, you got to start throwing.
Yeah.
You got to throw everyone's stuff in the fire.
Yeah.
I don't want Kuhn to play for second place. Like, I'll take it.
I'll take second.
I'll gladly take
it. 100K is, it ain't nothing.
People are like, I don't want, there is this whole mentality among the players. I'm sure they're right. They've played, but they're like, I want to swing for the fences. I don't think it's, you know, if I know I'm going to go out, you know, what's the difference between going out 10th place and 4th place if I'm not going to win?
Like, yeah.
I'd rather go out 4th place.
If you want to make the argument,
place, I make it to 4th place and I get more money.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you want to make the argument, people who swing for the fences get voted back, great. But also people who throw shit in the fire and make a huge enemy out of themselves and get second also get voted back, you know? Like,
that's true.
It's kind of a win-win at that point, even though you're already losing, you know? And who knows? Who knows? Maybe you'll get to the end with someone who's like even more despicable in a different way. You know, who knows, like
a goat killer.
Exactly.
Well, make of the fact that it was a goat and a goat is a very,
is that a thing?
Very symbolic figure in Survivor lore.
Yeah. Sandra just slaying goats every season. She wants to kill a goat, you know,
but I'm serious.
Literally.
And then there's GOAT, which is greatest of all time. I mean, GOAT is a very, if you want to start going down the various interpretations
symbolism
of why we were presented with that scene, because we could just as easily have not seen that scene at all.
By the way, where is this taking place?
Fiji.
Fiji. Okay.
Yeah. They're in Fiji, but they already had a season called Fiji, so.
This one is called Game Changers instead. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's called the Mamanuka Islands. Game Changers. The Mamanuka Islands.
Mamanuka Goat is what Sander said.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. I mean, someone can tweet me if they liked that one, but it was bad. So don't worry about it.
I'll teach it, Ryan. Don't worry.
Sure.
We'll throw you a tweet. But I'm like, I don't mean to obsess about that scene. It could mean nothing.
Let's talk about that scene. It's next.
I think the easiest and probably most correct way to read that scene is Sandra's a villain. You'll be happy to see her get voted out.
Yeah, I think
if just her walking into this show as Steve did, you're going to hate this person.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's the
very
most
effective editing.
I think that's the most. Whereas, like, probably Steve, if you had seen all we'd seen of her, you'd love her because she's hilarious
And I want to add,
That's in keeping with her character. If she Sandra don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sandra doesn't give a damn.
Like, I also want to add, you know, in addition, I think this scene also really set Malcolm and JT up as kind of heroes, but especially Malcolm, who's like, we're not going to kill the goats, like, right away. JT had a thing where he's like, Sandra wants me to catch a goat, so I'm going to do it to maybe help keep myself safe, right? Whereas Malcolm is just like, we're not killing the goats, period, because we have feelings. you know.
Yeah.
Which
could you imagine being a crew member, like a camera guy, and they actually go through with killing the goat, and you're like, am I just going to stand here and let them kill?
I really think like if they did kill a goat there, if they had killed a mama goat, we would not have seen any of it. Because it's just like
possible.
It's not good TV.
Oh, they would have caught hell.
Yeah. And it looks really bad for the show.
It's also possible the production told them they can't kill the goats.
That's true too.
After all that happened, and that played into Sandra going,
they daggered Sandra hard on that one.
All right, whatever. I don't care. I mean. There's just, but you're right, that scene, and I picked up on that too, that Malcolm.
By the way, they didn't show them killing a chicken.
No, they didn't.
They only, I mean, they showed. So
they have in the past.
They showed like a chicken killing scene. They don't show the chicken getting killed, you know? They'll show the players' faces or whatever. And it's only to build the character of someone.
Sure.
Like.
And so speaking of that, Malcolm was definitely, I mean, none of them besides Suri besides Sandra wanted to kill the goat, really. Yeah. But Malcolm was definitely chosen to be the voice of that. Yeah. And again, like he is, you say maybe he's looking too good as the winner pick, but I don't think there's anybody who done like Malcolm.
Yeah. So I think like he could be the merge boot because of this, like. Set him up so great. Like the thing about Malcolm is he has so much footage already from his previous seasons of him being a hero and a fan favorite and stuff. It's like they can't really go too overboard on that. So who knows? Like it does look like he's definitely in the discussion for the winner, I think. Which
Who's in the discussion for? Well, let me ask Steve first, because you just walked in this episode. You can see the other two. Based on this, who do you think is just in the discussion as maybe in the running to be a winner this season.
I honestly have no clue.
So
all I know is I hate Sandra. They made me hate Sandra. And
how dare they?
Although I didn't really like Tarzan.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a pretty great scene where they win the immunity and he's crouched down there reaching around trying to grab the clue for the idol.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
They did it that once before.
That was really awesome.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's kind of up next. I thought it was awesome, but yeah, go ahead.
At what point do you start when you go on these challenges looking everywhere for idols?
I thought they did a great job of waiting one season to do it again so that people wouldn't one start thinking, oh, it's going to happen every season.
Constantly be looking. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have to say, like, I thought Troyzan was really bad at trying to grab it. Like, it was so awkward and hammy.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, God. Oh, thank God we won. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Let me just sidle over here awkwardly over to the other side of the table. It just was, like, so funny to me.
I was amazed he was able to do it without attracting their attention.
I know.
He's not.
I wish they would have hidden the idol somewhere earlier in that obstacle course where he would have had to have been chained to two other people and grab it.
I would like to see them hide it somewhere where if you go for it, it's going to
be obvious.
It's going to be a detriment to your team winning the challenge.
No one would do it then, right? Maybe Troyzan would because he's that desperate.
It depends if you think you're think you're the odd man out and it's your only shot to, like, if you're in JT's position or Troyzan's position.
I think you're right. I think he would have done just about anything to grab that idol, no matter where it was on the course, and as evidenced by he would at least do some hammy acting to grab it. But.
I mean. He's another one who was never a game changer, but I love what he said this episode. He goes, I mean, in my first season, I found an idol, and I played it, and I didn't get sent home. Somebody else did, so I changed the game.
I know, I love that.
Yeah, and what happened the next Tribal Council?
When you didn't
have the idol? I think that then, I don't think the game changed at all.
Yeah, you totally changed the game by 1 week.
The order of people voted off changed slightly.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys like it when they when CBS put the hashtag crotch idol up on the screen? I thought that was an interesting choice.
Oh, when he stuffed it in his pants?
I didn't notice
that. I'm just kidding. They didn't do that. They didn't do that.
I wouldn't put it past them at this point.
Yeah, I mean...
Does anybody use their hashtags?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're constantly suggesting hashtags throughout the show.
No TV... Every TV show, whether it's a narrative or a reality show, has hashtags, and nobody uses them.
I feel like people gotta use them, right? Like... We're very savvy TV watchers. There's a lot of people out there that are not. But maybe those same people don't know Twitter that well. Maybe the Venn
right.
diagram of people who would use a hashtag and people who can figure out Twitter is like not, they don't overlap. But
yeah.
They should really make those hashtag graphics that come on like so easily removable from the show because those are going to be very embarrassing.
I know,
to watch.
They really are.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Okay, what's going on?
What's funny is because Survivor is a very timeless show. You watch the first season, and it doesn't seem that dated. You know, there's some weird stuff with Rudy being
right. Well, the first season is weird because it's the first season.
It's
so
a
like
camping
so
documentary.
Seasons,
it's
very slowly paced, and you know,
yeah.
But it's it's not dated because everybody's on this island.
Yeah.
It's all these maniacs on an island.
But these hashtags really do date the episodes. I do hope they do pull them out. That would be smart. But
that would be.
I'm sure they will.
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope.
In 10 years. Be watching it with my children. I'll be like, Daddy,
what's Trump Russia?
That's the nation we live in. I thought you were going to ask me about hashtags. Why does it have a tic-tac-toe board followed by some random words that were just spoken on screen? Okay, what are we not covering with this episode? How did it start?
We kind of moved through it pretty linearly, actually.
Done?
We're not done.
Oh,
but, okay. You know,
got the merger, the goats, and the crotch idol.
And,
yes.
And, you know, yeah, we're covering it pretty good. The next thing up is, you know, Mana loses immunity, we go back and we get some discussion, right? And this is where...
Wait, can I just say one more thing about that idol?
I'd love
when
to
when
it.
Troyzan's looking for the clue, they were all standing at the camp talking about how they needed to keep their eye on
him. I love that. If you take that moment where Andrea is like, we got to keep our eye on him, meanwhile he's finding a clue, and then you cut to the challenge itself and Andrea is looking right at him, she turns her head and he grabs it. It's like it could not have been more poignant. Like,
and that also is why she's going to get voted out. It's they're just laying the groundwork for her getting out.
Totally, because you know,
heard it here first.
She's a diddle devil, that one.
She's a diddle devil.
A diddle devil. I just like that they were all kind of standing around, very confident that he won't find it because they're going to keep an eye on him. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. But he still has to get it, though. He's got another clue.
Well, now he's got it.
Now he's presumably he's got it, but it might have been.
No, that's the idol.
Oh, it is?
The first thing was a clue to say this is where the idol is hidden the challenge.
I thought it was to a second clue.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that would suck. No, he's got it.
Oh, then he's stoked.
He's good to go.
He doesn't have to worry.
Stoked.
He can stay right beside all of them the whole rest of the time.
So you're saying there was some discussion, Ryan, when they came back.
So there was some discussion. Yeah. So, so like this is where we get whoever talks to Ty last gets Ty to do whatever they want. Right. And we get, this is where, like you mentioned earlier, somehow Brad Culpepper becomes the like strategic genius of the tribe.
And he played it exactly right from his point. I mean, he got Ty to vote out his closest ally.
Yeah. I thought Brad looked really good in that scene where they're sitting on the beach and Ty's like, oh, don't you think we need Caleb for challenges? And Brad was like, yeah, I do. I mean, I do, you know, or something, you know, he said something like that.
He said something along. I was like, yeah, I do. I mean, I think he's good for the tribe. I just, you know, I don't know if he's good for you,
right,
for your
now,
game.
That, so now that was that a good argument? I mean,
well, it worked.
Obviously, a great argument for Ty, right? But is it a good argument for like a normal Survivor player who sort of knows the game?
I think it could work on some of them.
I mean, if Ty's smart, he's going to use Caleb as a meat shield, right? Like he should be dying to keep Caleb around.
Of course.
Because they're going to vote out Caleb well before him every time.
And Caleb probably would never have voted out Ty.
Exactly. Like, that's why I think this is just a terrible move by Ty.
It was really, Ty just does have no strategic savvy. And as you said, whoever talks to him last determines what he does. Yeah. And, I mean, there's no reason at this point for he should have stuck to his guns and said, like, look, I see what you're saying, but I'll worry about that later. You know, we got to keep this tribe strong and, you know, whatever. Brad played it great. He makes beautiful decorations.
Yeah. He is apparently antiquing and I like to decorate.
Very devoted, loving husband. And
I love the way he says that. I should have just used I like to decorate. I should have just used that. That would have been better. It's just so funny the way he says it.
He's turned out to be more interesting. So
way more
he interesting. Was not a game changer in his first season, but they saw something and it's there. But
I think he was kind of a game changer, and not like he didn't change the game of Survivor period, but he had a huge effect on that season, even though he went pre-merge. Don't you think? Like,
he had an effect on the season, sure.
Yeah,
but not because he was so great at the game.
No. And so
am I right, Steve?
Probably.
Thank you.
All right, you got me. You got me.
I don't know about that.
He's look. He's turning out to be good so far. I think he'll go far. You avoided the question earlier. I said, "Who's in the conversation, Ryan?"
Oh, who's no, in the I didn't running? Avoid the conversation. We asked Steve, but so I got to say, I got to put Brad in the conversation. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to put Varner in the conversation. I think Malcolm is the front runner right now.
I never thought I'd be Varner in that conversation.
I know. And then I got to put...
I don't think he'll win, but yeah. What?
And then I got to put Troyzan maybe in there as well. It's all men. Mm. I'm putting all men in the conversation.
I don't think Troyzan has a chance to win.
Yeah, he might just be a pre-merge story.
He might be even make it around like he did last time into the merge and goodbye.
Yeah.
Is Debbie in that conversation or is she just a great narrator?
Debbie is in the top, like, you know, in terms of confessional, she's still in the like top eight people, top seven people. So, and she's not getting like Dumbo music when she is talking about strategy, which bodes well for her considering she's a Dumbo. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be taking her more seriously this time. What about my beloved Suri? What's going on with her? Sure, she's never been to tribal council this season, so it's really hard to know what's going on over there.
I think people are too afraid of her, man. Like, that whole montage of people who are like, I can't work with Suri, I can't work with Suri, she's scary. Mm-hmm. Like, some of those people are still on her tribe with her, and then... You know, I don't think the others are going anywhere if Suri does make it to emerge. Man, what if the same thing happens, Scott, and she, like, gets screwed out of a finals trip at the last second again?
Then I'll weep.
You'll keep watching, watching the show.
No different, from any other day.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about Zeke and Michaela? What's going on with these two? Are they just inconsequential?
I mean, do you want to know confessional numbers, or do you want my opinion?
Sure. Well, both. But so, these two, Steve, were on the very last season, which nobody else had seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sort of in a different category.
Right.
I would say Michaela sort of disappeared this episode. She had one confessional, but she's still like top four, baby, in terms of confessionals. Whereas Zeke, I feel like Zeke has had a constant presence in every episode, despite not having a lot of confessionals. He had that moment on the mats at the beginning of this episode. So, but I think you called it in our last podcast when you said he's going to be the super fan who's on this journey as a super fan instead of mm-hmm. like having an actual chance of winning.
How's he doing with his confessionals?
He only has four. He had one in the first one, two in the second part of last week's, and then one in this one. He does seem to be hanging around, though. I don't know.
Exactly. All right, let's move it along.
We're nerds. Sorry, Steve. All right. So the only thing I have that we need to talk about still is sort of Haley lawyering up in the tribal council, like making her case, right? I thought she did an amazing job. At least, even if the vote was already decided, she did an amazing job of spelling out why they're getting rid of Caleb and keeping her.
Right. She did a good job. I think it probably was decided.
Yeah.
Already.
It always is. It always is.
Well, usually, yeah. But, and I will, you know, Caleb was a good character, but I won't miss him. Personally.
I don't even think he was a good character, man.
He was okay.
His first season. If he had played like he did on Big Brother, he would have been a good character in that I would have hate him.
He's a Big Brother guy?
So, yeah, Caleb, because Steve also has seen Big Brother.
Yeah.
Caleb was on Big Brother and was like a major character on that show for one season.
Huh.
Where he basically was like the loyal to a fault.
He got third place.
Completely like, was it third or fourth? Whatever it was. Completely dim. Like, had no idea.
Not his head.
Exactly. Had no idea what was going on and was used basically by the winner the whole time.
The whole first half of the season, he was like obsessed with this woman on the cast and would like only talk about her to the other castmates.
Basically, Scott.
24/7. He would try to get them to bring her up, or he would bring her up and talk about like, did he have a chance with her and all this shit? And she wanted
thought she
to
was
do
a gift from God. God put her in the house for him.
What the fuck?
I know. And his nickname that he gave himself, by the way, on that?
Troy Zan.
No, is that? Beast Mode Cowboy.
Ew.
Yeah.
The one thing he was good at was challenges.
Right.
Yeah, he was
really good at challenges. Yeah. So then he came on Survivor. And it was that season with Ty.
Yeah.
But he got medevaced on like the third episode or something.
Uh-huh.
From heat stroke during a challenge, and he like almost died or something.
Jesus.
So, and the edit was very like heroic.
Yeah, he changed the game in that they now give people
water. Did he come back
to
the game that season, or he was just
gone? Yeah. So that's why they brought him back.
Yeah, because he changed the game, Scott.
And he never went to a single tribal council before being brought back onto the show.
And now he went to every single one this season.
This season, yeah. All three. All three. Well, he's gone.
So,
and yeah, Haley did a good job, but do you think she is in the conversation?
I don't. I just think her edit has been very under the radar. I mean, maybe if she like explodes in the second half in terms of like being a character, if she does win, it's a very like Michelle Fitzgerald type win.
Yes. She's been more, I'd give her better chance than Sierra.
I agree. You know, she had a really great argument about Caleb, which is Caleb has more angles to work with, right? Which is I'm struggling to put into words how it's great, but like I had never really thought about arguing against someone because they have more angles to work with. But she's basically saying like he's got Ty and he's like a physical threat and all these other things that he's loyal and stuff. And I thought it was really nice how she turned it around on him when he said, this is why you should keep me. She was like, actually, that's why you shouldn't keep him, which I thought was genius.
He's been in over his head from day one. Anybody who at this point on Survivor is still going to stand up and say, you know, if you want someone who's going to be loyal and work hard in challenges and work hard around camp, then I'm your man. And like, it's not really what we do on this show anymore.
Brilliant.
Oh man. I can't. what's gonna happen next week.
I'm so excited. Yeah, what about that shot of Jeff where he's like incredulous at Tribal in the next time on? I really want to know what that's about.
Oh yeah.
Who I'm gonna go ahead and so which tribe? If I want to say who I think will get voted off from each tribe.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I feel the need to say that. I'm saying that if I don't know their names though, the tribe names.
You tell me the people, and I'll tell you the tribe.
Andrea. Okay, for the reasons Tavua. Already stated.
Tavua.
That's one.
Okay.
Then the tribe that's JT and five other people. Mm-hmm. I say it's between JT and Sandra.
I agree.
If they go to Tribal.
That feels right.
But the fact that the preview made it that JT is going to try to get Sandra out made me think that either that she is safe.
Yeah.
Either they don't go to Tribal or she is safe.
Yeah, so even I could see them splitting the votes on JT and Sandra.
Yeah.
And then JT goes home.
But now, so then the other tribe, which one is Saria?
That one was Nuku that we just talked about. The last one we have to talk about is the one that just went to Tribal Council, Mana. Saria's in the Troizan Andrea tribe.
Okay, so that's where I think Saria would have been in trouble, but I think she will be saved
by
thanks to Troizan.
Yeah.
Andrea. That's my prediction and my hope. So the other one that just went, probably Haley then, huh?
I mean, she seems like Haley she would Sierra. Be next, yeah.
Haley or Sierra?
I actually could see... So there's a lot of ways that tribe could go. If Haley's as good as she seems like she is at just not annoying people, I could see someone like Ty or Debbie annoying people enough to get voted out this early.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I think Ty is also vulnerable.
I think Haley could go to Brad and Sierra and go, hey, look, Ty and Debbie, they're way too tight. They played on the same season. We got to get rid of one of them.
Yeah.
So it could. I mean, it like obviously first glance, Haley, right?
Yeah, but I think Ty could be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, Brad did say this episode he wants to keep Debbie and Ty close.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be something to that. Anyways,
I think Brad and Debbie are going to be aligned for a long time in this game.
Ooh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. All right, should we move on to our segments?
Ryan loves Debbie. She's like his fun. His weird.
I love Debbie because she's weird. She's great TV.
But her first season, she was like a cuckoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not getting edited that way this season, which leads me to believe she might go far. Hard to say.
Hard to say.
Man, if Debbie wins, oh my God.
No.
She's not winning. All right. Well, why don't we move on to our segments?
There have been several confessionals she has had that we've seen she's wrong on already.
Right.
I can't name any detail. I can't remember specifics, but there have been a couple times where she has been like, well, clearly this person doesn't know what they're doing, or this person that. And we've just seen that whoever she's talking about is the opposite of what she's saying. Right. So I don't think she's going to win.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that.
Okay, I forgive you, Debbie.
I love that part where she's like, you guys had to go to Tribal all three times. I'm sorry for that. Like, it was like the most insincere.
Yeah.
Are you, Debbie? Are you sorry about that? Like,
shit. Better them than you.
Exactly. Debbie. Exactly.
All right, should we do our segments?
Yeah, let's move on to our segments. All right, first one, here we go.
Hold up.
All right, this is Hold Up, Bro. This is the moment in the show you said, hold up, bro. I got to rewind my DVR and watch that again.
Ooh, we even have this is actually amazing. We have Malcolm and Sandra. We have two of the people who inspired our segment.
I know, we're just missing
right
Sue.
Here, Mr. Hold Up, Bro himself.
Yeah,
Malcolm.
Yeah. Well, Scott, did you prepare?
And you know what?
Or?
Malcolm was my whole, what?
Oh,
well,
go
I didn't
for it, yeah.
care, but. Honestly, Malcolm was my hold up bro moments of rewinding because there were two times in the episode where Malcolm said things in like a weird voice.
Oh,
and
really?
I had to rewind to see who was saying it. And I wish I could remember the first one. So obviously I did not prepare. The second one was right after they won the challenge, and he goes, he started skipping to get the idol.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Finally won something. He like sings on. There was a point.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I was like, why are you showboating in front of all these people? That's really not cool to do.
There was another moment earlier in the episode where there were like four people on screen, and there was a voice I did not recognize. And I'm sorry to everybody. I did not write it down what the phrase was, but they said something, and I rewound it like three times before I figured out that maybe it was Malcolm doing a funny voice. And then when he did that thing after the challenge in a similar voice, yeah, I was like, okay, that's my proof. I've now confirmed that it was, in fact, Malcolm.
Yeah.
So
you narrowed it down.
That's like kind of almost feminine voice.
I like it. I like it. For me, it was watching the master actor at work, Troy Zan. I had to rewatch that just to get some tips on how to find an idol without getting caught.
Yeah, well,
I love that moment. It was good TV. I mean, so far, them putting the idols in challenges has been good every time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was great. Steve, I know you just watched the episode moments ago. Was there any moment that you had to, like...
There was nothing I had to rewind for, but it probably would have been the him trying to get the idol from that challenge.
Yeah, it was a good moment. Good moment. All right.
I didn't know that's something they were doing. That's pretty ballsy.
I know. It's a great twist. It's one of the changes. It's one of the changes they've made to the game recently that I can really get behind.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun.
It's real fun.
All right.
It's just fun. It's good fun, you guys.
We're just funning.
Yeah.
I love antiquing, and I like to decorate.
Why wasn't that on my? Why didn't I rewind that?
All right. Let's move on to the next segment. Here we go.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get
ill regrets.
All right. This is ill regrets. This is who do you think is going to have ill regrets about a choice they made in this episode? I mean, I got mine. And for
you
me,
go.
It's pretty
obvious.
Oh,
I have one.
I'm going to choose Ty, and it's almost unfair to choose Ty because the guy doesn't seem capable of regret, but, you know, he should not have let Caleb go. He needs Caleb. Like,
yeah, no, he absolutely should not have voted out Caleb.
Yeah, I mean...
Idea that he and Caleb were a threat, I would have said, like, I mean, is disproven by the fact that he did vote Caleb out.
Yeah. I know. But can you really say, like, guys, I'm so wishy-washy. Of course we're not a threat. You know, like...
Right. Of course I'll vote him out at some point.
Yeah.
Didn't you watch my last season? I voted out all my allies.
Yeah. Oh, man. I would be, like, just dying to take Ty to the end, right? I mean, he's a lovable guy, but, like, there's no way he's going to be able to articulate his strategy.
No, that's why I would take him to the end.
Yeah.
He did make the end last time, Steve, and unfortunately he could not articulate his strategy whatsoever.
Yeah. But he's a great guy. Like, I love him as a character. Absolutely.
Well, Steve, you seem to know who you thought would have ill regrets.
Yeah, I would say, is it JT, the guy who left them out on the raft to go in and look at the...
That was a pretty bold
move. For the flyers.
Yeah. You know, we need Varner. No, we need Malcolm. We need them Plars.
Yeah.
Let me get them Plars.
Brilliant.
I mean, it's obvious, so it might not be that damning, but I was like, Jesus, you really just are not trying to hide anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure.
And I don't blame him, because it's him against, what is it, five other people?
Right. That's why I give him a bit of a pass on it, because they're like, well, I think there's some on some level they understand that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah,
that's true.
Having played Homebrew Survivor twice now, when you're toast, you'll do anything. Oh God.
How'd it go?
It went well. It's not gonna be on the internet, so I can spoil it.
Okay.
I made the jury. I was the last person in a pagonging. post-Jury Begonging. I benefited heavily. I was in eighth place. I benefited heavily from a terrible game-breaking twist.
You benefited?
Yes. I could get into it, but it's sort of complicated to explain.
Well, how did... So, Steve, Ryan played in a park like a day, like Survivor in a day, and how did Wade Randolph do that
Wade Randolph
day?
Did not do so well, unfortunately. And Wade would argue it's because he was really nervous and he blew the first challenge and he became a target. But I will also add that, you know, he didn't do himself any favors by standing all by himself at the beginning before we were divided into tribes. Like, he was like, I want to stand in the shade. So we went over in the shade and there was only one other person there with him. And he'll argue against me until he dies. Yeah. But, you know,
was he the first one voted out?
He would have been if it weren't for this crazy ass twist. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Does anybody else we know, were they playing?
Well, I don't know. Do you guys know Alex and Ariel from Channel 101?
No. Okay. No. So therefore, we don't
so
know
you guys,
how well
Well, Scott, you know who Jen Brown is. She played.
Yeah.
And Jen Brown, yeah, she won.
Ah!
Wow.
Yeah. She killed
finally
her.
Got her day in
but
the sun.
She had the incredibly powerful game-breaking advantage. And it's only because of the fact that she had that I was even able to make the merge. If someone else on her tribe had had it, because we were on separate tribes, me and Jen. If someone else on her tribe had had it, they would have used it on me way earlier.
So she let you go as far as you could go.
Yeah, and she should have gone further with me, but, you know, well, she won, so I can't say that. But
she won.
So, she put herself in a bad spot by voting me out. Let's just put it that way.
Jen played on the show.
Season 30.
The season that you watched on our podcast a couple years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah. She played a great game. I don't begrudge her at all. She played a great game.
Was there any element of her win to come from, like, other people playing the game being starstruck?
You know what? There were a lot of people there who weren't super familiar with the show, and I don't think they were lying. So, yes, for sure, she got at least one jury vote because someone was like, you're my favorite player of all time. And she did
what
win.
What does the winner get in this game?
So everyone put in $15. The winner got $200.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. So yeah, she won 4-3 in the jury. So yes, I would say that her star power and the fact that she put her good friend me on the jury definitely helped her win for sure. But Scott, you can ask, someone you both know, Miles Nye played actually.
How did Miles do?
So Miles got screwed by the twist, specifically at the hands of Jen. Let me tell you what the twist was. It was called the Trojan Horse, right? At the beginning of the game, each tribe had to choose one member who was going to be the Trojan Horse. Now, their Trojan Horse got to go to the tribal council of the other tribe every time and sit in on it and then choose one person they wanted by secret ballot to be voted out, right? Now, if that person was not who the majority chose, then the majority person and the person that the Trojan Horse chose had to duel each other in a game of chance to see who got voted out instead. So Jen comes to our first tribal council. We vote out this other guy, Ryan. Jen chooses Miles because she just doesn't, she's like, he seemed like too much of a gamer. I didn't trust him. And I was working with Miles, but I didn't want to like start signaling to Jen too early, like who to vote for. So she chooses Miles. Miles loses like a dumb game of chance to Ryan. So Miles gets voted out, even though he was in the majority. And the dude Ryan, who we blindsided, is still in the game. And this happened at almost every tribal council. The person who the Trojan Horse chose on either side went home instead of the person who got the most votes. So it was crazy.
I believe that I would have loved watching this.
Yeah.
But when you describe it, my brain does something.
It's too hard to comprehend.
It's like Jeff Probst describing how the challenge is going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know at all what you just said.
Yeah. Trust me, when you're out there too... When you're playing the game and the person who's running the game describes the challenge, you're like, hold on. I did not hear a single word you said.
Yeah.
Dude, I always space out when he describes the challenge. Yeah, and totally. This time, this episode, I said to myself, like, I made a point in my brain. It's like, okay, pay attention. Don't space out. Let's listen to how this challenge goes. And then it ended the description, and I just went, oh my God, I totally spaced out. Completely started thinking about something else.
Yeah.
And it was Survivor related, whatever I was thinking of. It was just far more interesting. And then it started, and I was like, okay, they're going to run up something.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's usually pretty obvious.
Yeah, I caught three of you will be chained together, and then also knows.
By the way, how easy was that puzzle?
Easy.
It did seem easy. It seemed
it
easy.
Just said, because it had words. That makes it a lot easier that you're trying to spell Survivor game, so, and he told you.
There wasn't any art on the opposite side, right? Like, you knew what side had to be up, so yeah, seems easy to me. I don't know. I mean, look, they all almost finished it very quickly, right? It was really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Did we get your ill regrets, Scott, or do we even care?
Oh. Do we care? Ill regrets. Yeah, I will not say Sandra about the goat. I'm surprised neither of you said that. I think Caleb is a solid choice. I'm looking at these other people. Let's see if there's anybody else with anything to regret this week. Yeah, I think. Not Caleb. I mean Ty. I'm going to echo you with Ty, and let's move on.
All right. For last segment. Here we go.
We only like it if it's loud.
Can get loud too. What the?
Hello to me.
All right, this is getting loud.
Sandra, be loud. I didn't get loud too. What the fuck?
Great.
All right, this is getting loud. Who got loud this week? Who stood out in a good way for you guys?
I'm saying Brad.
Yeah, Brad looked good. I mean,
look, I never thought I would be praising Brad for his social skills and his strategy, but I am. And on top of that, those decorations were awesome. Where did those
antiquing?
That's what I want to know.
I like to decorate.
That's what I want to know is where those like glass.
Yeah.
Where did those?
I have no idea.
Are they from a challenge?
Maybe, or maybe they were like.
I'm like obsessed with that. She's like, first of all, those are like beautiful, and like who on Survivor has ever done that? And two, where do those balls come from?
Yeah, I mean, maybe was there rice? Did their rice come in those things, or maybe like water or something?
Something must have come in those in the first episode.
Yeah, I wonder.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, he got loud just for those.
Yeah.
I would agree. I would agree with that as well.
He got Ty to vote out his best friend. So
yeah. I'm going to give credit to Haley on that, and Haley is my getting loud because. Haley plays a masterful under the radar social game. I think everyone just genuinely likes Haley, and that's why they want to keep her around. And I way she played it. I love the way she handled the tribal. She made a great case. We'll see. We'll see how far she gets with it, though.
I think she's a possibility to, you know, she's the Amber Alert. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the possible winner of that ilk.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
He's got the potential.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, we've said it all.
Yeah, I think so. I think finally
the podcast has spoken.
Yeah. That's gonna become our new catchphrase.
There you go. The hosts have spoken.
I don't know about that.
That's
also Sandra.
That's great.
That was Sandra at her second season when she's they don't think I'm gonna win again, but I don't know about that. Steve, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We started this journey with you.
And this is your last episode. Did you guys know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I had to break that to you. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. I'm sorry
for that. Well, no, Survivor got canceled. They're not going to air anymore.
My God.
That
Steve.
Would be way more devastating to me. And they're not even going to finish out the season.
No, nope.
They'll never tell you what happened.
It's like a mid-season cancellation.
Yeah.
Won't they just burn off the episodes online, Steve?
No,
it costs too much money, man. It's a tax write-off at this point.
I'm going to miss this.
Yeah. All right, Steve, where can people find you? Twitter is sort of the go-to spot.
All my social networking is all the same. It's at Steve AG.
Awesome. And Steve, where can people catch the next little independent film you have coming out this year?
May 5th, you'll be able to see me in this little comic book indie called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, my God. So
have exciting. A podcast? Or is that, is
I
that
do
going?
Have a podcast.
Oh, going? Yeah, plug that.
Still going on, Steve AG, UHHH, and I have a new podcast which has not yet launched that I'm co-hosting with TV's Busy Phillips from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, cool. And
she's usually very busy, so it's quite a
busy.
Coup.
It's called We're No Doctors, and it's just us talking about a bunch of medical. We're two hypochondriacs.
Oh,
talking about medical.
What a great idea, you man! Are? That's a great podcast idea.
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah,
I love it.
Right. Well, let's everybody who's listening now is required to listen to those.
Yes.
Excellent.
And Ryan, have you anything to plug?
Yeah, I'll plug the same thing I plugged last week with Nick, or Nick plugged it for me. But check out Tales of Titans on Go 90. I scored it. And, you know, maybe a little show I work on will be coming out soon. I'm not sure when. Called Rick and Morty.
Nice.
And you can tweet at me at Ryan Elder Music. Scott, where can people find you?
No, they don't need to find me. Yeah. Trust
you can,
me.
You can hit up Scott at Ryan Elder Music. As
yeah,
usual.
Just send it to Ryan.
The thing is, people do that, Scott. People do
we'll
that.
Text him.
I get lots of tweets at me that are like really about you.
and do you? But you don't send them to
I
me.
Usually do. I usually do.
All right. Okay. Well, hey, I also saw that we got a review on iTunes.
Oh,
we,
that's exciting. Do
we got comments on our. We got all of that shit.
Did
and
we
got
a couple of stars.
Next,
a couple of more stars.
We got a couple more stars on our iTunes, and at some point we can discuss that email you got.
Oh yeah, we definitely have to discuss that.
But not now.
Yeah.
Not now.
We've already hit the. Well, you know, this isn't the longest episode we've ever had.
Not by a long shot, actually, but I think that's what it's got going for it. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. All right. Steve, again, thanks for joining us. And
yeah, my
it's
pleasure.
Been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
The tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.